Good morning, Liz. This is Liz Gulliver. She's with CUNIC. And Liz, thank you for taking time this morning to talk with us.
Absolutely. Happy to be here.
So you're calling in today from Florida.
From Miami, yes.
From Miami.
Up a lot for summer.
Yeah, awesome. And congratulations to you. I know you're expecting your second child in November.
And just, I am. Thank you.
Yeah, it's an exciting time. So you have a young son at home and expecting a daughter.
Yes,
fantastic news. We're celebrating with you.
Now.
Yeah, that's great. And before we started recording, Liz, you told me that you also have your in-laws staying with you. Yeah, so the audience that often follows the content is what we call the sandwich generation. And what we share in common is people that are in some ways informally caregiving for young children, sometimes special needs situations, and also elders. I found you on LinkedIn with one of your posts about the parent community, and I was immediately attracted to CUNIC. Honestly, I didn't know CUNIC, so I looked it up, and I thought, that's a really cool name. So if you don't mind, start there, right? How did CUNIC form, and how did you come to decide to name it?
Yeah, absolutely. So CUNIC, I started with my business partner, Josh. We went to business school together, actually, and we both had experiences watching, for him, family members, and for me, my sister, and thinking closely about my own parenting journey. I was working in finance at the time, had been in finance my entire career, wanted to have a kid, and just saw so few working moms ahead of me in finance. And I had really seen that consistently. I worked in hedge funds, private equity, investment consulting, and banking. So really everything you can do in finance, I've done it. And I saw so few women and so few mothers. I started realizing that part of that was because we were asking working moms to work in a broken system. We were asking them to juggle the two without giving them any kind of guidance, support. Of course, we all know at the federal level there's nothing, but what astonished me was how little there is in the private sector as well. So I started digging into that and realized that, you know, there was very, very little out there. Who's a parent today has changed. We have dual income homes, we have single parent homes, we have adoptive families, we have same-sex couples. A huge variety, and yet what is out there to support those parents hasn't changed. And as a result, it's 2020, and motherhood is still the single largest career off-ramp for anybody. And that's pretty astonishing when you think about it. We have an enormous number, 76% of women with kids under 6 years old work, but motherhood is still the biggest career off-ramp. So there's a huge disconnect there.
Absolutely.
And I think there needs to be more there to support it. And so that's where we started the impetus to build CUNIC and provide support to working parents throughout their journey. I mean, you have teenagers, so you know those challenges shift and change over time. They don't end. It's not like you have a baby, you get them sleeping, and then you can wash your hands and you're good.
Not at all. We used to say, like, little kids, little problems, big kids, big problems, right?
Exactly.
They're different.
I think it's true. It's different, but the scale changes too. Mm-hmm. And the name, because you asked, it means nose kiss in Inuit.
I love it. I love it. When I looked it up, because again, I was unfamiliar with the name, I looked it up and I thought, that is awesome. Awesome. Well done. Well done.
And that's such actually all Josh. Josh is the creative mind. I am like the efficient finance mind, and Josh is super creative. So all of our branding, our naming, all of that is him.
So kudos to Josh for that. That was a big win. Good. And the problem statement is so real, right? Because the demands of work and the demands of parenting are both intense, and there's compromises that have to be made, and you're helping to empathetically communicate with people that are dealing with very real problems so that they don't rely exclusively just on friends, family, and their support network. You are a support network.
Exactly. So we are a support network. We work in a couple different ways. We have a peer network, which is what you're a member of, and that's literally thousands of working parents across the U.S. We help people there connect across a variety of ways. So it can be by geography, by career industry. So connecting with other, you know, lawyers have certain things to their career, finance, et cetera, connect with people in your career. And then also identity, because we found that, you know, if you happen to have a kid who has special needs, as you referenced before, if you happen to be a same-sex couple who's doing surrogacy or adopting, those are things that impact your parenting journey and might make you want to connect with somebody who's been through those experiences. But then we also work with employers to provide groups within their company. So there's certain questions that are really specific to your company and to your career in there. So we do provide those private groups for employers as well.
And I think that's the part that I was less familiar with. And if you want to focus on that for a moment, when you have the parent community, and then you have the company, the business to business side of Kunik.
Yeah. So when we work with employers, we provide a few different things for them. We build out these, I don't know if you're familiar with ERGs, employee resource groups, or affinity groups, some employers call them. You often find those for women is a very common one, Black employees, Latino employees. You'll find them for minority groups within companies. What we found is that parent usually falls under women. The issue there is that parenting, as you know, as a dad, is not a women's issue, and it shouldn't be treated as a women's issue. So we help these companies build out parent groups that are supportive for all of their different parents within a company. And what's really cool about that is it touches the cost. So when you think about D&I and you think about, you know, your veterans group, your Latino group, your Black group, your Asian employee group, however your company breaks it down, parents are kind of the mother of really knows that an employee is a parent is when they're a visible parent. So that's when you're a pregnant woman in the office. But that's actually a minority of who your parents are at a company. And so what we found talking to employers is that actually zero employers we've talked to so far have any idea how many parents they have at their company. They just don't track it. They have no way to know it. Unless somebody lists a dependent on their health care form, they don't know.
Right.
So that's why developing these groups is so important, because there's a lot that you can share. I mean, for a parent, you know this, the best resource for a working parent is another working parent. They've been there, they can share, they can empathize with you, they can talk about it, they can give guidance, and that's being lost. That's, you know, that's such a powerful tool that's not being harnessed. So we help those companies harness that. And then also, of course, for anything you're going through as a parent, having an expert and a coach is hugely valuable. So we bring in coaches who cover everything kids 0 to 18, everything kid related. So think anything from sleep training a baby to talking to a teenager about college and everything in between. Home, so things like how to make your family run smoother, how to divide things in a two-parent household, how to, you know, deal with resiliency in a family and talk about tough conversations in a family. And then career and you. So talking about productivity, taking on, you know, what happens if you have your second kid and you introduce a sibling into a family and you're taking on a promotion? How do you balance that? How do you work on time management, productivity, everything career related? So our coaches do all of that kind of group coaching for employers. And we find that group coaching is just a great way to keep building on that community, because you're sharing. So you're collaborating with your peers. You're also learning from each other. You know, I might come into a session with one question. Absolutely. You might have three others, and I learn from your question.
Absolutely.
So we focus on that coaching.
Almost unlimited topics, right? Because we're talking about people. So all the labels you mentioned earlier, there's a list of, you know, categories or labels, but the common denominator is they're people. And I think the problem statement...
People are growing and changing.
Oh, definitely. Right. Through change and transition. That's an understatement in these recent times, right?
Oh my gosh, yeah.
For sure. But I think the empathy and the communication, and to some extent, the ability to access resources confidentially, at least at first, until there's a comfort level to disclose as much or as little as you're willing to or need to.
And that confidentiality is huge for us. That's like when we work with employers, we actually don't have them. And they just do a flat coverage of all employees. So we have employees log in who they may not know our parents, but those parents can confidentially access information. So if you're not ready to share that I, you know, have kids at home, or that I'm thinking about having kids at home and I don't want that to impact my career development, it's all confidential, and that's really important for both the employer and the employee.
Well, in about 30 seconds for the video portion of this conversation, tell us, where can a viewer find more information about Kunik?
Yeah, so we have a website, getkunik.com, www.getkunik.com, or you can go to GetKunik on social media, and we have all sorts of information there. Or you can email me at liz@getkunik.com, and I'm always happy to talk.
Fantastic. Well, thank you for that part. Please don't go away.
No way. I'm here.
So, good. Thank you for that. That's awesome. I found you originally through LinkedIn, like I said earlier, on a post. I think that the work that you're doing is so very needed, And if I read correctly, you started this, you know, well before the coronavirus and the, you know, work from home.
Yeah, we've been around for about 2 years, so definitely. And we were all digital before that. So we just feel that, I mean, like you were talking about earlier, people are taking their kids to practice and working in a car. They're, you know, getting 10 minutes in a coffee shop here and an hour in a co-working space there. And I think that's how it'll continue to be, COVID or no COVID. Mm-hmm. So that's why we've always been digital first.
It's real life, right? You're meeting people where they're at.
Exactly.
And I think that's what's so genuine about this is, one, is it's a problem statement that's everywhere. It's universal. You know, people love people. Most need to work. It's part of your identity. And also there's financial aspects of it. But because of demands being what they are, being productive at work is difficult. And so I can see why what you're saying earlier is when you have a demanding job, it's difficult to advance in it without support, right?
It is. And, you know, I think that part you said about identity is hugely important because it's something we hear from, especially, frankly, from moms more than dads, is that when they have a kid, motherhood becomes a big part of their identity, but they don't want to lose the aspects they had before. And so we actually talk to a lot of moms who maybe don't necessarily actually need to work. Maybe it gives them a different lifestyle than they'd have if they weren't working, but they'd still be able to provide for their family if they weren't working.
Yeah.
But these are women who actively want to stay in the workforce because it's so important and core to who they are.
To who they are.
Also, how they want their kids to
Absolutely.
See them. And that's a big factor. And if they're not being supported in that, it doesn't only impact them, it impacts their kids in that generation too, because they're seeing a mom having to leave work. And that's, you know, especially I'm about to have a daughter. It's something I think about all the time. You want your daughters and your sons to see that.
Absolutely. It's such a powerful point, a great point, and it's real, and sometimes I think unspoken, right? Until it becomes a major problem, and then it's, you know, then it's a major problem,
right?
Exactly. So if you can address it,
start dealing with it before that.
Very much so, and I think that's fantastic. So the community that I was originally talking with, we're dealing with aging parents. They're also kind of stuck in the middle, often between still having dependent children in their home, worried about things like raising the children, educating them, you know, planning for their own life and retirement, and caring for older family members that sometimes aren't geographically close by. And, you know, that's very difficult for people. You know, even before all of the work from home, shelter in place and everything, but now even more so, I think some of these issues have been really brought to light because there's concerns when maybe we're not able to go visit people with travel restrictions, for example, individuals living alone that are, you know, isolated and have some maybe depression or loneliness, right? And the love that people have for other people is, again, universal.
Yeah.
I think that's all part of the whole thing is through different seasons in life, as you go from, you know, one event or activity to another, some of the work that you and Josh are doing with CUNIC is just right there at the core of who people are and what they're dealing with every single day. I'm a big fan of your work, and thank you so much for taking some time here this morning. It's been just a privilege to have this conversation.
Absolutely. I love talking to people who are dealing with sandwich generation, though, because that's something that's near and dear to my heart with my in-laws, but also my parents are approaching 70 and my in-laws are in their 70s. So even though I have very young kids, I think there's more and more people like me who delayed. I'm already 35, so there's more and more people who delayed having kids. You know, we're having kids later. And also whose parents delayed having kids a little. So actually, I'm number 3 of 4 kids. My husband's number 3 of 4 kids. So we have siblings in their 40s. So that difference between our parents and our siblings in their 40s isn't as great. But both of us also have younger siblings who have just turned 30. So to be 30 and already have parents in your 70s, you know, it changes. So now I think you're seeing more and more people with really little kids and slightly older parents. And it's, I would say that this situation, I think, has put us in a place where I never saw my parents work out. They still work. They still have their careers. They're still, you know, and so I'm like, oh, they're so healthy. They're so young. They're so healthy. And but watching them, you know, with little kids and sometimes struggle to pick up a toddler, mm-hmm. knowing how vulnerable they are right now, and the same with my in-laws, it's striking. And I would say it really puts in perspective for you my father's mother lived with us my entire life and died at home with us on hospice. So I've seen that arc. But
yeah.
I was a senior in college when that happened, and that's just not where my kids are going to be. You know, it's different ages.
That's right.
I think to your point, it is, as you watch this generation who, you know, has been there for us for so long, through so much, and you're watching them every day when they live with you, not be able to do certain things anymore. And it's a lot as a parent to watch your little one grow up and watch your parents getting older on the other end.
For sure. And I think as this generation seems to be more youthful at older ages than their parents and grandparents were at the same ages.
Absolutely.
Right.
Way more mobile, way more active.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. And our demographics are such where as people are living longer lives, it's a confusing statistic, but the average life expectancy is actually lowered slightly in the last couple of years. Maybe for some reasons like opioid epidemic, obesity, diabetes, and some of those comorbidities that we're hearing about with the coronavirus. But the people who are living longer, right? And so they have generally some loss of mobility and need to not live independently. And so they may, like your community, they need support from others, right? And so that is kind of a curve, as you said, an arc. Where there's often skills that are diminishing at older ages in the reverse order from when a young child learns them, like
absolutely
right to
watch it play out in real time. I mean, I remember my dad, my grandma. We were talking about driving kids to sports practices before it started, and since my grandmother lived with us, she was an English teacher for 45 years, so she loves everything school and all of that.
Yep.
She would drive us to and from theater rehearsals, sports rehearsals, etc. But I remember distinctly, I think I was a sophomore in high school, and my dad said, "You can't drive the kids anymore." And it was so hard.
That's
hard
a tough conversation.
It was hard on her, it was hard on my dad.
Right.
I mean, and those are the kind of conversations that are ahead for all of us in the same generation. And how much do you, you know, when they're still cognitively there, but maybe can't perform all the functions, those are tough conversations to have.
Right, and I think the circumstances are unique to the people, the relationships interpersonally between the people. So you can't just look it up in a reference on page number or whatever it is and say, like, what do I do in this instance? Because
exactly.
it depends, right?
And I think that's where talking to people who can say, hey, your situation's a little different, but this is how we handled it. It's so valuable because you can't Google that.
No, I think that's it. The support groups and the ability to, you know, find out what other people are doing and how they're handling a situation may give you some things to think about and kind of put it through your own personal filter to see what does that mean in my circumstances and do I want to do it the same way or slightly different than someone else did. But having that, even just awareness that other people are dealing with the same things is reassuring that you're not alone. And there's someone else out there that's willing to help and share. And that's often what people need, but they don't necessarily want to raise their hand and reveal their, you know, most personal things like health issues, you know, to other people because it's a private situation.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Well, I think the community that I was first introduced to, the parent support group, I saw it written as a virtual toolbox. I think that's a good description of all of the resources, because I think an individual from a phone or computer can begin to access some things without talking to people. And then when they're ready, they can post or join a group and further engage at their own pace.
No, we have a lot of people who spend months reading the conversations, accessing the resources, and don't say a word. I have private conversations with them, but they don't say a word in the community, but they're there and they log in multiple times a week because they find that reassurance that you were talking about and that comfort in hearing other people talk and reading what they're saying, even if they're not ready to share yet themselves.
If you needed any more proof, that's it, right? That's proof that people need this and they want this and they're looking for resources like this. So when I saw your post on LinkedIn originally and, you know, began to learn more about Kunik, I was more and more impressed and frankly, the more I found out about it, the more I liked it. Where sometimes you find something, and the more you find out about it, you're like, oh, and then you're disappointed. But this is the opposite. This is something as you, you know, peel back and learn more things. And most recently was, you know, beyond the parent support group that you do work with companies, and that's just awesome because you can reach more people and impact more people, and that's, I think that is what's needed, because if people are going to continue to advance in their work and pursue their potential as an individual and the identity and be fulfilled in that part of their life, they need the help with the caregiving role and parenting and the rest of the story. And that's often what is exactly what's missing.
Yeah. So. No question. We feel you're never going to get to that gender parity at the top. You're never going to get to that diversity in the C-suite and at those top levels if you don't help caregivers throughout, because it's such a huge part of our population that if we're not helping those people excel and advance, then we're not going to hit those diversity targets at the top.
That's right. So you're originally from Maine, living in Miami. Josh is out west in California.
Josh is in L.A.
In L.A.
So the entire time we've built Kunik, we've been remote. I mean, it helped that we did go to business school together in New York, and we lived in New York together, not in the same apartment, but both lived in New York City for a few years after school. So we had that grounding of being in the same place, which I think has helped us as we built this remotely.
Yeah, and so you've got a very broad reach, and I think it's just growing more. So my hope is that more people learn about this through this conversation and can get some benefit.
Any kind of working parent join us, so we welcome that.
Awesome. I have a feeling we'll talk again, Liz, and thank you so much for taking your time this morning. Congratulations again.
Thank you.
I guess I wanted to ask you about that before we close out.
Yeah.
You had a pregnancy with your son a year and a half ago, roughly.
Mm-hmm.
No COVID.
No COVID.
No COVID-19 anyway. This is very different this time, right?
Whew, it is so different, because I also, when I found out, so I got pregnant right before this, but actually by the time I went in for my first scan, it was already COVID. And it was so different in the most striking way. My husband, when we went in for the first scan for my son, my husband was clearly not quite ready to find out that we knew I was pregnant. I had done at-home test.
Yeah.
But he was standing up, the doctor turned on the heartbeat thing, and my husband, like straight out of a rom-com, fainted against the wall.
No.
The floor. They had to bring in a nurse. He completely fainted. It was this whole thing. The entire doctor's office was talking about it, because the doctor was like, that couldn't have happened better if we were filming it. And then this time I've been there alone, and you can't bring anybody in with you. And so it felt just so starkly different.
For his safety, right?
Exactly. Prevent that fainting. But it's very different. I've only gone in, I'm already 17 weeks, and I've only gone in two times, once to a perinatal and twice to my OB. So pretty few appointments. I had they had a plastic shield and cutouts with arms, with gloves to do the scans.
Yeah.
It felt like you were on Mars.
Yeah, how different.
It's so bizarre.
I can't even imagine. That's just remarkable difference, profound.
You miss that community, because I used to, you know, when you're going through to those regular appointments every 2 to 4 weeks in the beginning, you often see the same people, because the same people have the same schedules. They book at the same.
Sure.
You either like the mornings or the afternoons or whatever.
That makes sense.
And so you got to, there were women I recognized, I think, so we would chat a little bit in the waiting room, you would watch each other progress, it was very nice, and now you have to wait outside until they call you in, and they text you, and then you come in, and so there's no waiting room community, there's none of that, you know, chit-chat.
Yeah,
waiting, and
it's kind of more,
it's definitely a lot more isolated.
Yeah. That might be a different group altogether, is pregnancy during COVID, right?
Yeah, I think so, and it comes with its own set of anxieties and fears.
For sure, but I think the thing you're talking about is the communication that generally happened when you would see the same type of people. That is part of the experience. It's not there now. Yeah.
It's you don't notice. It's not the first thing that comes to mind when you think about it, but you definitely feel its absence when you're in there.
For sure. I think that's evidence of like that type of situation throughout, that people are adjusting and changing. And for that reason, there's an increased level of stress.
Absolutely. Yeah. We're so used to human interaction and we're not getting it in the same ways. And it's leaving a massive hole for a lot of us.
No doubt. No doubt. And in some ways, Qnix is helping to connect people that otherwise would probably never communicate with one another. And that's...
Yeah.
That is profound, right?
No, we do. We have parents who had never found each other and yeah. have become really close and talked back and forth on there. And that's, to me, just so gratifying.
Yeah.
I love that. Nothing makes me happier.
I can see why. Yeah. I can see why. Keep up the good work.
Thank you so much.
Thanks so much for doing this today.
Absolutely.
I'll talk to you again soon, okay?
All right.
All right. Bye. Thanks again. Bye-bye.